Hello and welcome to Word Equals Faith. This is your host, Jose Reynaldo Torres. Welcome, folks. Welcome. Now, today's message is why your prayer is not heard. Now, folks, there are more reasons why prayers are not heard. But for the sake of time and obviously just to get some of these points covered, we're going to go ahead and start with 3 points here. And we will go ahead and cover the following 3 points, which is point number one, God does not listen to sinners. Point number two, you are asking for the wrong things. And point number three is there is no glory for God. So with that being said, let's go ahead and start discussing point number one. God does not listen to sinners. And some folks are curious. They've asked, well, where does it say that in the Bible? Now, those are valid questions, and you'll find the answer in the following verses. Again, for the sake of time, I'll go ahead and share just three with you. The first one is in Job chapter 35, verse 12 through 13. I'll go ahead and read it to you. There they cry out, but he does not answer, because of the pride of evil men. Surely God will not listen to an empty cry, nor will the Almighty regard it. In Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2, it says, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Now, folks, those two references were from the Old Testament. So let me give you one from the New Testament, which is found in John chapter 9, verse 31. Where it says, now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and does his will, him he heareth. Therefore, folks, what we get and what jumps out is that we must get right with God before we reach out in prayer. If we don't, then the verses I just read to you apply. So how do we get right with God when we are all sinners? Now that question ties directly to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So how do we make it right with God? How can we get there if we're all sinners, according to Romans chapter 3, verse 23? How do we make it right? So for those listening, obviously, that haven't been saved yet, please go ahead and listen to the message I have called The Sacred Blood of Jesus Christ. And also hear the remission by the blood of Jesus. Those messages will tell you how to get it right, and it actually will catch you up and explain the payment Christ made on our behalf. To make it right with God, you need to examine or to make an examination of consciousness. Say what? Yeah, yes, I get it. I get it. An examination of consciousness, right? What is that? Well, I'll put it to you in a in layman's term. Think about your past and present sinful nature. One, ponder upon that and see the things that you're doing, the things that can cause you to sin, and how you live that life. Now, folks, in God's eyes, as I just read in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, there really is no difference between sinners. Sin is disobedience, and that is what can separate us from His holiness and eventually from eternally being in His presence. So there really is no difference between a murderer, a thief, a liar, or even an adulterer, and a Christian. The only difference between those examples I just gave you, between murderer, liar, adulterer, thief, and a Christian, is the exception that the blood of Christ steps in for us that have been saved by the blood of Jesus, for the Christian. So once you examine your conscience, you repent of your sinful ways, put those sins on the cross, receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, because He pays for your sin debt in full with His precious blood. Now you can pray for the Holy Spirit to guide you and teach you how to pray effectively and how to live a righteous life. I'll share the following verse with you that promises what I just mentioned. Let me go ahead and read it to you. In John chapter 14, verse 26, but the Holy Spirit will come and help you, because the Father will send the Spirit to take my place. The Spirit will teach you everything and will remind you of what I said while I was with you. Amen? Amen. So that's how it works, right? The Holy Spirit, once you're cleansed, once you examine your conscience, and you put all your sins on the cross, make things right, you can approach the Holy Throne in reverence, with confidence. And the Holy Spirit will come to you and guide you. So, okay, let's go ahead and move on to point number two. You're asking for the wrong things. For example, and I'll give an example on how, and I'll just go with this one for now, and you'll see how it's going to make sense in the different examples that I'll give you. You just start a new position, but you don't have a car to get to work. So here's the example of prayer. God, give me a new car so I can get to work. Okay, bye. I get it. Some folks will say, oh, come on, Jose. No one really prays like that. And you know what? That's what I thought until I heard it for myself. There are even the prayers that I've heard in that demonstration that I gave you, they're even being specific on the model and make. I mean, obviously, I left it out here in this example, because we don't want to do a commercial, right? However, I've heard them asking. And I've even heard them ask for winning lottery numbers. Wow. That prayer was just, first and foremost, that prayer was just disrespectful. It's too generic and doesn't address our Creator. Prayers like that, it's just insulting to come and to treat God, our Heavenly Father, as he is some sort of genie in a bottle that you rub and he has to grant you wishes. It doesn't work like that. And those are one of the reasons why prayers aren't answered. Let me read to you what it says in James chapter 4, verse 3. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. See? Folks have been praying like that for a long time. I just gave you these examples that I've heard recently. But as we read in James chapter 4, verse 3, folks have been praying like that since 2,000 plus years ago. Now, some may say, but God knows everything and knows you're addressing him. And folks, I get it, but well, think about it this way. I'll give you an example on how God does know. That is a true statement. However, think about it this way. There is a hiring manager that is asking you for your resume and wants you to email it. So when sending the resume via email, if you leave the two field blank, even though the hiring manager knows that you will be sending the email, if you leave the two field blank, will the hiring manager receive the email? Nope. It's just not going to happen. Because the ownership is on us to address out of reverence and respect. I'll give you another sample for prayer. And this one is going to be covering those points that I've made. And it starts like this. With respect to that vehicle relating to commute on the new position. Ready? Heavenly Father, Jehovah God, I humbly approach your holy throne in complete reverence and cleansed of my sinful ways by the precious blood of Jesus, who has paid for my sin debt in full, I approach your holy throne. Thank you for the blessing of employment you have provided me with. I plead for your divine intervention in providing me with the best transportation that you deem that it will fulfill your will, according to your will, for my commute. I thank you in advance for your blessings, and I ask for discernment as you guide me through our commute. In Jesus' mighty name, we seal this prayer. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, and folks, which of those two examples do you think has a higher approval rate and a higher success rate? Think about that for a minute. You may have to rewind and hear those examples once again. I want you to think about how these prayers, examples that I gave you, can better your prayer requests and get your prayers answered. Now, the second prayer is most likely to be answered, and here's why. First and foremost, you acknowledge and address the King of Kings. You are humble and accountable that you are a sinner. But you address the point that you have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And here is a scripture that backs up exactly what we have demonstrated here. In 1 John 5:14, it says the following, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Amen. Let's go ahead and move on to point number 3. There is no glory for God. For example, you are praying for God to give you all the answers to a test so that you would score 100 on an exam. But you don't, A, you don't study. And B, in your heart, you will just tell everyone that you passed because, hey, I'm just that smart. So you will never give glory to God. Therefore, there is no glory to God in a prayer like that. Or you may be praying to an idol for something, and that's where you fill in the blanks. Let me share a scripture that states exactly what happens when you pray through idols or when you make prayers like that. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 16, I will pronounce my judgments on them concerning all their wickedness, whereby they have forsaken me and have offered sacrifices to other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands. Now in 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 12, they served idols, concerning which the Lord had said to them, you shall not do this thing. So folks, it's being confirmed through the word of God that no prayers or any prayer that do not give God the glory will be answered. Therefore, whenever you ask, it must glorify God. As it is written in the book of Isaiah, chapter 48, verse 11. Let me go ahead and read that to you. It says, for my own sake, for my own sake, I do this. How can I let myself be defamed? I will not yield my glory to another. Let me give you another example. This time, this is a very, very powerful prayer that has been done by the person that knows prayers best and knows exactly how to get his prayer answered. And you can find that in the book of John, chapter 11, verse 40 through 42. It says, Jesus replied, didn't I tell you that if you had faith, you would see the glory of God? After the stone had been rolled aside, Jesus looked up toward heaven and prayed, Father, thank you for answering my prayer. I know that you always answer my prayers. But I said this so that people here would believe you sent me. Now that was a powerful prayer. Notice that Jesus addresses the Father. He was in reverence as he thanks the Father. He has faith and complete confidence as he says, I know you always answer my prayers. Now that's faith and that's confidence. And lastly, he He prays out loud for God's glory. So as people will hear, they will believe and give God the Father the glory. Amen. Amen. So anyway, folks, we're coming close to the conclusion of this message. And I just wanted to share those 3 points. Obviously, there's a lot more scriptures that can get your prayers answered. And there's a lot of other ways to get yourself right with God and get your prayers answered. And get as close as you can to following these 3 points I'm about to share with you so that you can get your prayers answered. Obviously, if we're going to pray for something, it has to glorify God, right? So the first thing is we got to get right with God. We got to get right. That means you can't have a grudge on someone in your heart. You got to let that go. The scriptures do say that if you have something against thy brethren, don't let the sun go down before you make it right with that person, before you even bring the gift onto the altar. So it's getting right with God. Getting right with God. If you have a disagreement with somebody, settle it quick. Just pray about it. Apologize to that person. Sometimes we do things. Sometimes it's our fault. Take accountability of it. Take ownership of it. Get right with God. Then second point is ask responsibly. Just ask responsibly. If you are in need of a vehicle or transportation, ask the Father for it. He's going to give you your needs. He knows you need to get to work. He knows you're starting a new job. But when you come with Him in reverence, you come to Him in reverence, He will give you the desires of your heart. And He will absolutely give you your needs. It's when we start asking for models and makes, right? And again, there's nothing wrong with when you're working hard and you save your finances aright. You go and you can purchase the vehicle that you love for whatever reason. You want to have this vehicle, this make and model. Absolutely. But I'm talking about the beginning, right? Before you even at that point. Just started a new job and you don't have the transportation. You go to the Lord and He will provide the transportation. It could be that He's going to have you carpool with somebody. It could be that He's going to have you move to a building where you can walk to work and not have to rely on driving or public transportation. These are the things that can happen and will be available. So with that being said, it can be also public transportation or it can be your own vehicle. So ask responsibly. The third thing is give God the glory in your prayers. As we heard Jesus give glory to God, we know that you answer all prayers. But I said this so that the people here will believe you sent me. That's giving God glory. It's pointing all to Jesus. So folks, I hope that helps you. Let the Holy Spirit of Jesus guide you in all you do. Folks, until the next one, stay blessed.